Day. Happy New Year to all, our first meeting for 2019. If I could start by acknowledging the Kondamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we gather this morning. I'd like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who are present. Just a reminder, in case we have to evacuate the building, and hopefully we don't, I ask you to remain calm and follow my directions. The emergency exit is through the gallery doors on your left and down the stairwell to the exit on Bloomfield Street. Public conduct at meetings, councillors, and for those in the gallery, section 32 of the standing orders, all members of the public present in meeting must not, without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present, be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting if you do need to take a call. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such notice, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period as decided by the chairperson. Now, this period could actually include future meetings. Councillors, we have a leave of absence this morning. If I could please have a mover and seconder that a leave of absence is granted for Councillor Hewlett, who is attending a funeral. Move Councillor Edwards, seconder Councillor Hughes. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. And Councillor Hewlett, Elliott and Tolte are absent for that vote. Devotional segment, welcoming us into 2019. I'd like to introduce you to Pastor Steve Kennedy of the Champions Church at Thornlands, who is now going to lead us in a brief devotional segment. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Good morning. Now I've got to behave. I want to read a verse of scripture, and certainly Happy New Year. I believe this is our first get together for the year, so thank you, Mayor Williams. Great to be with you. It's a verse in the book of Psalms. It's a good verse. It says here, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Now, as soon as I say that, I would imagine there could be some varying opinions to the validity of that, for you at least. I'm a motorbike rider, and I was at a motorcycle shop most every other week, actually, but recently, and I sat down, and the fellow's trying to sell me a motorcycle, so he said to me, what do you do for a living? I said, $5,000 if you can guess, mate. So he went through all the usual convict, boilermaker, and everything else. I said, I don't think you're going to get there, mate. Till finally I said, I pastor a church. I can't tell you what he said next, but he then excused his French and ducked under the table, realising I was obviously a delicate man of the cloth. And then he said, I don't believe in any of that crap. I say, more French. And this guy's brilliant. I said, no problem, man. What's your code? He said, I just believe you got to do to other people like you want them to do for you. I said, oh, good code, mate. Matthew 7:12. It's called the golden rule. He said, get out. He's like embarrassed, you know, like, am I a priest? And I said, what else? What else do you go with? He said, I just tell my kids, whatever you do comes back to you. Fantastic, mate. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given. He said, get out, with a bit more French. And it's almost like he's thinking, man alive, maybe I'm a preacher. And look, if I could just say this, and I don't like Bible bashing people, it's not the deal. If it's good and if it works, you tell me what it is and I'll tell you where it is in the Bible. It's just the way it works. It's always been my practice, Mayor Williams, to invite the incoming mayor to come and speak to our community church. They're members of the community. I want the mayor to know that we are here to support leadership. I believe I invited you, Karen, when you were amazing, fantastic. But John Freeman was a mate of mine in the city of Logan many years ago, was the Chamber of Commerce chair. I pastored there for 27 years, and he became the mayor, so I invited John to come and address our congregation. He got up and he said this. He said, look, what I'm going to tell you is the city plan is not original, and it comes from five wise fellas that met together in Chicago. That's how they talk in Logan, by the way, folk. And five people from Chicago, and he began to tell us, you've got to look after old people, you've got to care for the youth, and I'm like, ooh. So I got up afterwards with the utmost respect, and said, "John, it's a great plan, but I'm just going to tell you, it didn't originate with five wise blokes in Chicago. James 1:27 says, the sort of religion that God respects is that you look after old people, that you care for young people, and you do it with the utmost integrity." And so, folk, if it's good and it works, I just think it's in the Bible. I finish with this in a prayer. I got five grandkids, but 7-year-old's the second oldest, and she had a tooth extraction on Christmas Day. And I'm old school, I'm one of 12 kids, so it's a bit of string. You tie it to the Nerf gun, and boom, out she goes. And with a scream, and then she came out with a piece of ivory, you know, like. And I said to her, "It's all right, Abby, put it under your pillow, the tooth fairy's going to come." And my feeling is that a lot of people go through their whole, you know, until late adult, they're still believing in the bunny, the tooth fairy, and Santa and the rest of it. And but she looked at me, and I'm just hoping you're as smart as my 7-year-old granddaughter. She said, "Poppy, Daddy puts the money there." Now, I don't know if she intuitively worked it out, or maybe she kept an eye open, you know, and studied and searched out the matter. But she'd come to the conclusion that even though good things happen, some people believe it's the butterflies, some people believe it's just the Big Bang. She worked out with it's not the tooth fairy. Look, it's not the bunny, it's her dad that does these things. And so I just want to say again to you, wherever you sit, I don't know if you'll come to it intuitively or whether it's time to search it out, but the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everybody who exists in it, he says he set the waters on the boundaries and he blesses it. So whether you acknowledge him or not, he acknowledges you. Whether you believe in him, he believes in you. And whether you honour him, he honours you. And I honour you too. The work you're doing is just phenomenal in our city. For the gallery, I just want to commend our councillors to you. I don't think anyone steps up to this to become rich. I think they step up to this because they genuinely want to help our city. And I honour them and hope you do as well. We'll have differences, no doubt. We'll try and work things out for the good of the city. But I trust we do it with a spirit of honour and goodness. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, starting with our Mayor Karen and her husband Peter, I just pray for the power of your spirit and your presence to be good, Lord, in this city and in this day. Pray for our gallery and the families we all represent. We're all trying to make it work. Help us, give us wisdom as we look to you for help. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless. God bless. Thanks.
That was probably the most energetic devotional segment we've seen in a long time. We should all be full of oxygen right now. All right. Councillors, the next item on our agenda is a declaration of interest on any items of business. And I may just... Councillor Edwards, did you want to... I'll just read it out before you go down that road. Councillors are reminded of their responsibilities in relation to a councillor's material, personal interest and conflict of interest at a meeting. Details of these responsibilities are listed and outlined in the agenda, and I would also remind you that declarations can be made at any time throughout the meeting. I note that Councillor Edwards would like to make a declaration.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's a perceived conflict of interest because item 13.3 is in relation to shipping containers. I've just pointed out that it's unusual for most people, but I actually own some shipping containers. It's not a business I run or anything like that, but I'm just declaring that there is a perceived conflict of interest. And I've considered my position and firmly the opinion that I can participate in a debate and vote on this matter in the public interest.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. So, councillors, we will need a motion from the floor, and the motion will be that Councillor Edwards may participate in the meeting in relation to a matter to which they have a real or perceived conflict, including voting on the matter. Is there a mover for that? Moved, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Against? That motion is carried. So I'll just get your hands up, please, councillors. Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. So that's carried unanimously. And that means that Councillor Edwards can stay in the room. Correct? All good? All right, councillors, I also want to declare a material personal interest on item 14.1 in the agenda. The reason being that myself and my husband, Peter, own a property that is adjacent to the eastern escarpment and may add or diminish the value of that property. So I will be leaving the room, so there's no requirement for a vote at this point in time, but just that will be listed as an MPI. Thank you, councillors. Moving on with the agenda. Always a great pleasure to recognise people in our community, and we've been doing that quite a bit over the last 24 hours with our Australia Day Awards. And before I invite a couple of our outstanding volunteers to the front, I just wanted to note that in the gallery today we have a group of people who have been religiously and consistently supporting the push for having more transitional housing for domestic violence in our city. I want to acknowledge, of course, Maybank, represented by Rosemary, and we have Roz from Zonta, and of course Anita from Redlands City Choir, who's raised about $25,000, I think, for this particular cause. Without saying too much, we think today will be a red letter day for us here in Redlands, and I just wanted to thank those organisations that have worked with me through Dinner en Rouge and other events in our city to do something that's pretty outstanding in this state. There's no community that's been able to come together to raise awareness and money to the value of over $250,000 that I'm aware of in this state, let alone this country, and it's a credit to some of which are in the gallery today. So could you please join me in just acknowledging their great work? And of course, Maybank and Rosemary have been doing that for many, many, many years. So thank you, Rosemary. Also today, and once again, a great time of year to be acknowledging wonderful people in our community. We have two outstanding leaders in our community, and I'd like to just quickly talk about them, and then I'm going to invite them up for a certificate. So extremely privileged and pleased to welcome Tish Henderson and Carol Underwood from the Queensland Cancer Council Redlands branch today to our council meeting. We have an opportunity to recognise and thank them for some outstanding fundraising achievements over the past year. We all know that we know people that have been touched by cancer if we haven't been touched ourselves in our lives, and so this is always a very, very important cause in our city. And in the true Redlands Coast spirit, we have a wonderful group of volunteers who dedicate themselves to raising funds to support cancer research and, of course, all the services that are required if you are enduring a journey through cancer. To find a cure for this terrible disease is really important, and we simply aim to improve the lives of people and their families who are living with it. In 2018, the Redlands branch again took part in the 2018 Cancer Free Challenge, which calls for fundraisers to commit to raising $10,000 during the year. Well, these guys have completely blown that out of the water and raised $117,000. And they've done it through the old traditional ways of having events, selling cakes and having stalls, raffles, etc. And it really is an outstanding amount. And this was actually $12,000 more than they managed to raise in 2017. And they also took out that title of the Cancer-Free Champions for the year, not just in the region this time, but across the whole state. So it really does put Redlands on the map. And we know why we're the second happiest place in Queensland to live when we see people like this working religiously in our community. And there's obviously these two ladies are representing a whole group of volunteers, about 30 of them. And they next year, and this is a challenge to all of us councillors and to other people in elected positions where we can promote and help these ladies actually achieve their benchmark for next year, which they're setting at $130,000. So it's a big amount of money, and the community is quite capable of getting behind and helping them at least reach that, if not surpass it. I'm going to start by offering my support to an eligible application for a small councillors grant so we can kick it off. And I'm sure there's other councillors around the room who also take this cause very seriously and would like to help. These people always put their hand up when other people in our community needs help, and I think it's our duty and our responsibility to do that too. So I'd like to once again congratulate Tish and Carol, and I'd ask them to come forward and present you with a very small token of our appreciation, a certificate to acknowledge your great work this year.
Yes,
You have a recognition of achievement. Okay, Councillor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have a recognition of achievement to present today, and it's a little bit unusual, and I'd like to ask that we suspend standing orders for 5 minutes to allow the acknowledgement to happen.
Moved, Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously.
Thank you, councillors. I'd like to invite Anita Taylor, Rosemary Skelly and Roz Kinder to come forward to make a
presentation. Good morning. I want to say Karen, but I'll say Madam Mayor Karen Williams, councillors and public. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here this morning. I especially would like to congratulate you as our mayor and thank you so much for inspiring me and the Redland City Choir to choose a wonderful cause to support. We as a choir have victims of domestic violence in the choir. I get a bit emotional, including my mother. Not my dad, it was her dad and her brothers. But it's been an incredible journey, Mayor Karen, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I used to work for another charity and was sad that the money didn't go directly to the people who needed it. And I trusted you, and I know you're doing everything possible that the people who need the money are receiving it. And I'm very excited, thanks to you singing and being part of our show, we were able to raise another $5,000 this Christmas, so we've got a cheque to give you again. So Redland City Choir can go up to $30,000 now towards the cause. So thank you.
Madam Mayor and councillors, I'm Roz Kinder, and I'm a member of the Diner on Rouge Committee with Karen, representing Zonta International. It's an international service organisation with the mission of empowering women through service and advocacy. I'm here today to recognise the commitment, perseverance and dedication of a councillor in this chamber, your mayor, whose efforts will result in an announcement later today from the state government of additional support in the form of accommodation for women and children who are victims of family and domestic violence. Your mayor initiated the annual Diner on Rouge function, designed to raise community awareness of domestic violence and family violence, and also funds to support these women and children by the construction and lobbying of the state government for additional housing units at Maybank, which I'm sure you're going to hear about. Over 4 years, the Diner on Rouge committee has raised well in excess of $250,000, as was mentioned earlier, towards this project. This would not have been possible without the support and drive of the mayor, other members of the committee, the staff of council who have been absolutely wonderful to work with, plus councillors in this room who've supported our functions. On behalf of Zonta International, the community, and also the women who will benefit from today's announcement, my heartfelt thanks to you, Mayor Williams, for all you have done and you continue to do. Your initiative, support and commitment will benefit many in the community, and for this, a really big thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Rosemary Skelly from Victoria Point. I'm here this morning as president of Maybank Association, which operates the accommodation and crisis support service in the Redlands for women and children affected by domestic violence. The Redlands Domestic Violence Action Group, who saw the need for such a service, was founded by a very small group of women, including myself, in 1988. And we successfully lobbied for funding to establish a support service, which has been operating ever since. In more recent times, a similar committee was set up once again to lobby the state government of the day to raise money to provide further accommodation in the Redlands, particularly for women and children from the Bay Islands affected by DV. Over the past 5 years, a considerable amount of money, and you've heard the amounts, have been raised through the Diner on Rouge events and through the Redland City Choir with this aim in mind. And that has been supported all of the way by such a high-profile woman who plays a leading role in our city, and I am, of course, referring to the Mayor. And I want to thank you, Karen, sincerely for the part that you have played and also for these women here and those that they represent. I know from past experience that supporting the domestic violence sector takes 100% sustained commitment. And the Mayor has shown that she was able to do that. She has consistently lobbied ministers, she rallied the general community behind her, and she gave her utmost dedication to what was needed. And now this has been successful. We are expecting to hear today an announcement from the state government, from ministers, about increased domestic violence support for the Redlands. And we should always remember the part that all of these people have played in bringing about such an exciting outcome. I know that the women and children who use our crisis service will benefit greatly from the extra support. I'm aware that domestic violence is not a council responsibility. In fact, in my day as a councillor, we did have welfare programs which were outsourced at that time. And women who were affected by violence used to come to the counter downstairs to receive emergency relief funding. But of course, all that changed and it was outsourced. But over the years, I have been involved in the sector, which has been since 1988. Councillors, both past and present in this council, have been more than supportive in many ways. And I would thank you sincerely on behalf of our staff and for the women and the children who have passed through our service. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, that'd be lovely. Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much for that very unexpected acknowledgement. And I'll speak to you later, Councillor Edwards and Alan. Truly, my job was easy compared to the work of these ladies, and they are the ones that should genuinely be acknowledged. So thank you. All right, moving on, councillors, with the agenda.
Standing orders.
Oh, we got it, yes. So we'll need to resume standing orders. Councillors, move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Against? That motion is carried unanimously. Before we just move on with the scheduled agenda, I just wanted to note that due to the absence of the Deputy Mayor, and I will need to leave the room for my previously declared material personal interest and potentially to go away for a media announcement, as kind of has been touched on just now, I'd like a nomination for the floor, from the floor for a councillor to take the chair. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to nominate Councillor Wendy Boglari, Division 1. Thank you.
Seconded Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Boglari. Okay. Receipt and confirmation of minutes. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move the minutes with a two slight amendments. Thank you.
You want to just acknowledge what those amendments are, Councillor?
Thank you. Item 17.1. The current wording is Councillor Bishop was not present when the motion was put. was absent from the meeting. I'd like to amend those words to Councillor Bishop was not present when the motion was put, not that he was absent. And in item 18.1, the current wording is that Councillor Lance Hewlett and Tracy Hughes were absent from the meeting, and we'd like to amend that to Councillor Hughes and Councillor Hewlett were not present when the motion was put. I think it's really important on my behalf that I apologise that I've missed a vote. It's really important to me. We sit in the chambers, as we all know, for sometimes many, many hours, and popping out for a moment. So I don't want anyone to feel that we were absent from the meeting. We were just out of the room for a moment. Thank you.
Seconded, Councillor Bishop. Have you got a question, Councillor Tolte?
It seems unnecessary. I'm not understanding why it is necessary to change this wording. Is there some implication that I can't see?
The minute secretary is basically saying we're just trying to provide some consistency. So it probably doesn't fundamentally change people's presence in the chamber, but they're acknowledging that they're happy to receive that amendment. Okay, so therefore we need a mover and seconder with those slight changes. Moved by Councillor Hughes and seconded. So we just need to put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. CEO, matters outstanding from previous general meetings.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. There's a few items here. The first one is the petition from residents requesting Wynnum Creek Priority Development Area be progressed. That report is actually on the agenda today at item 13.4. The second one here is about a petition requesting council include antisocial behaviour in the security camera policy, which is also tied to the item 7.3. Those items are currently lying on the table and will come back to a future meeting, and I'm told that'll be the 20th of February. This work has been undertaken over the last week, and obviously this was put forward during the Christmas break, so the 12th of December, the Christmas break slowed some things down, but that work is coming forward. I just noticed, Councillor Boglari, you've got a question through the chair.
Question, Councillor?
If I may, through you to the CEO, can I just have some clarity? Previously, I've been told because antisocial behaviour isn't listed as one of the options for the use of cameras in Redlands, that even if we did get funding, like applied for this funding, which is currently out, we wouldn't be able to use it for security cameras for antisocial behaviour. Can I just have clarity whether we can or not? Because my concern is by not bringing it back today and getting the policy changed, if we are successful in getting this present state funding, we mightn't be able to use it for that purpose.
My understanding is that there will be a number of grants that are applied for under the most recent announcement, and I think you'll find that the area that you're referring to is also going to be included. The CEO may want to confirm.
Because there's a cut-off date, which I'm nervous that we might miss. Yeah. That
won't prevent us from applying for it, as I understand it.
Yeah, Mayor's correct. And so the security camera policy, and I'm trying to remember the exact wording, says that it doesn't say it can't be used. It says it won't be prioritised for use. But I'm aware of those grants, and I'm told that we are applying for grants. There's two separate sets of funding. So we are applying for grants that align to the CCTV for antisocial behaviour. So the Mayor's correct.
So if successful in having it included at the next general meeting, we'll still be able to use funding if
I think what the CEO said was that it doesn't actually preclude us, regardless of whether that is changed or not.
Because no, we
it
can
just
still
talks
apply.
About pri- but talks, no, no, it actually says prioritised. So it's still we're still able to use it, but we have to prioritise.
No, the wording
it.
In the motion actually says anything to do with any social behaviour will be directed to the police, not that it'll be used. So I just wonder. So we are applying for the funds.
We are applying.
And
we are applying.
If it gets changed next thing, I just want to not miss out on valuable funding, that's
no,
all.
I understand. It's not 100% funding, that funding bucket either, I should say, so council would have to put money towards it as well. There is another item that came up on the 12th of December that's not listed at the moment, but we had an item on the 12th of December about participating in a joint local government activity about our regional approach to waste, and in that report it said a report would come back to council. So I just want to add that a report will come back to council later in the calendar year, because it's actually quite a long process, so we'll make sure that's minuted as well. They're the four things, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. Our next item is public participation. In accordance with Section 31 of our Policy 3127 Council Meeting Standing Orders, a period of 15 minutes may be made available by resolution to permit members of the public to address the local government on matters of public interest relating to local government. Priority will be given to those members of the public who make written application to do so. We have got three people that have applied for this public participation segment. So I could move and second that the meeting adjourn for a 15-minute public participation segment. Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Thank you. Okay, thank you. So due to a technical issue, our microphone there isn't working properly at the moment, so what we might do is ask if we could perhaps move the chair away from Councillor Hewlett's seat, and we'll ask him to come to the chamber table so that it can be recorded. Now, just before I ask the first speaker to come forward, you may have noticed the signage in the chambers. Those of you who have been here before will be very familiar with the process. It's our usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. The information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection downstairs at our administration building, and it's published on our council's website. I also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio video, and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that this recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing the meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless they're unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous. Make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. I have responsibilities as chairperson in this space, and I will consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government, give priority to members of the public who have made written application to the CEO to address the meeting, and determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on, of course, the number of speakers. I also have the responsibility, if necessary, to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed, and a strong reminder that debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this point in time. So with that, our first speaker is Hugh Strawn from Macleay Island, who would like to address council. Now, Hugh, if you don't mind just coming up, you'll have to come through.
Thank you.
Yes. Good morning, Mayor Williams and councillors. My name's Hugh Strawn. I own a business called Bay Islands Coffee and Juice Van on Macleay Island.
You can proceed. Okay. You go for it.
Okay. I'm here. I'd like to present a petition to the council, as over the past 12 months I've been trying to get approval to operate my business on the Macleay Island Ferry car park, or adjacent the car park, to have a food and coffee van operating. Over this period I've been told many stories, many answers, and had some good discussions with the council. I've tried to do it in such a way to work with the council, not against the council. Even as of yesterday, I've had further meetings. Yet, I seem to be going nowhere. It's going backwards. It's become very much a community thing. On the island, you can't get a coffee in the morning. You just can't get one. The community would like me to be operating at the ferry to do so. That's whilst I'd like to submit this petition. Operating hours of between 4 a.m. in the morning till 5 p.m. in the evening, subject to varying hours. That's basically it. Thank you. Would you mind?
Thank you. Anthony Maloney from resident on Mount Cotton. I'm here to talk about the Barrow Quarry application. First of all, I walked past the Sister City status documentation outside, and we've had a commercial relationship with Sister City for some years. I didn't realise we had Sister City status. However, moving on, you happen to know we don't have resignation syndrome yet, and the development proposal will result in substantial diminishment of the amenity of Mount Cotton. And there's a number of reasons. The licence conditions do not protect community or residents. If we had a drot working outside down the road and you hear the low-frequency vibration and the bucket hitting hard surfaces, and that was 5% above background level in this room, we'd find that an annoyance. Now, if that went on every single day, that annoyance will result in complaint. And 5% is about the limit above background level where you have a complaint. The noise licence conditions for this quarry isn't 5% above background level. It's not double background level. It's three times background level. And I ask you, if you were in your home or you're working and you had low frequency noise, the buckets of drops hitting hard surfaces, three times background noise, is that in any way acceptable? Let's look at dust. Now, the background, you know, there's been a lot of publicity recently with respect to quartzite dust from workers grinding hard surfaces. Now, PM 2.5 dust is produced by quarries, and that particular quarry has about 40% quartzite in it. Now, the World Health Organization says there's no safe limit. Now, those poor workers were in a very concentrated area, but there's no safe limit. Now, the background level for 2.5 at Mount Cotton is somewhere between 3.5 and 6.5 micrograms per cubic metre. Now, when our quarry operates, it's allowed to go something like five times that background level in that airshed, up to 25. Not only can it do that, the way it's measured is over 20, it's averaged over a 24-hour period. So that means that's when you walk past a quarry in the afternoon, you can see this big dust plume and wonder how they get away with it, because that dust is averaged over 24 hours. Now, would any of us be happy with our children coming home in the afternoon in that dust haze at 4 o'clock? No. Now, let's look at the zoning implications. Now, Daisy Hill and Cornubia have some of the most significant mountain bike tracks in Queensland. And there's a proposal to link those along Gramsdale Road easement into Bayview. Well, that is inconsistent with the planning policy for extractive industries, for the same reason that Sue at Mount Cotton guest retreat is not a, well, there was an objection because it's unsafe, in the quarry's own words, unsafe to have more residents walking around her property. You can't then have bikes going down the easement past her property, past the quarry, because it's inconsistent. It introduces more people into the separation zone. So it's rather perverse that in the development or planning policy, it spoke about absolute minimum distances. Completely ignored that. They didn't look at the residents in the area, they didn't look at the topography of the area and say, no, we can't meet those minimum distances. They put it in there because the resource was there, and then too bad for the residences. So let's make Mount Cotton, and it has a really interesting topography, that the whole ridge line, and there's plenty of resource down past Stapleton and the northern end of the Darlington Range. So let's make it a destination for the Redlands and create something like a Mount Cotton Nature Recreation Area for bikes, for hikes and the like, and that any quarry in any form in that area is inappropriate. Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony. Representative of Redlands 2030. Chris, would you like to make your way to the microphone?
Good morning. My name is Chris Walker. I'm a Cleveland resident, Secretary of Redlands 2030. Today I'll talk about the Redland Investment Corporation. Queensland local government laws require councils to operate transparently and in the public interest, but councils' establishment and operation of the Redland Investment Corporation and subsidiary companies is reducing transparency in relation to councils' property-related activities. There was no community engagement about the concept of council setting up a company to deal in property. The decision to establish this property company was made in closed session at a council meeting in November 2014. The community was not advised of this decision for 7 months until June 2015. When the council unveiled its draft city plan in September 2015, residents became aware that this property company would be used to sell off many much cherished neighbourhood parks. In response to public outrage, council decided in December 2015 to not sell the neighbourhood parks. This would have been a good time for the Redland Investment Corporation to be wound up, but it was allowed to continue. During the current term of council, Redland Investment Corporation has engaged in disposal of Cleveland CBD car parks, including Wynyard Street and Doig Street. Deals to dispose of these car parks were undertaken without community consultation. The Redland Investment Corporation has also initiated some apartment development projects on land which was once owned by the community. By undertaking property deals through a council-controlled private company, the council avoids various legal requirements designed to ensure transparency in the public sector. Deals done by Redland Investment Corporation are not required to be based on a public tender process. The activities of a council-owned private company are not subject to the Right to Information Act. They may not be within the scope of things which the Crime and Corruption Commission can investigate. The Redland Investment Corporation is a publicly owned property developer required by the Corporations Act to focus on financial returns to shareholders. But the Redlands already has plenty of property developers. What the Redlands needs is a council which focuses on the regulation of property development to ensure that the public interest and environment are adequately safeguarded. Today, councillors are being presented with a petition which asks council to act urgently to wind up its Redland Investment Corporation in order to improve governance of council's real estate and property related transactions, demonstrate full accountability in management of public land and assets, and reduce the risk of corruption within Redland City Council.
Excuse me, Mr. Walker, I think you're probably stepping over the line there. I'll ask you to wrap up now, thank you. There's absolutely no evidence of that, and just suggesting it here in a public forum puts you in a very, very ominous position. I ask you to wrap up, thank you. Now, thank you.
Residents.
That's an imputation, by the way. Wrap up.
All I have done is read out the words that are stated.
Mr. Walker, I ask you now to wrap up or leave.
Many residents have signed this petition, so we hope that this council will give this petition careful consideration. Here is the petition.
Thank you.
If the council would like to receive it.
I think it was lodged a couple of days ago, and Councillor Mitchell has.
Thank you, Councillor Mitchell.
Is ready to present it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walker. All right, councillors, back to your agenda. We'll need to now, unless there's anyone else that would like to address. Sorry? Yeah, I'm going there. I'm just double checking. Thank you, councillor, keeping me on my game. Appreciate it. Anyone else like to address council? There being none, I'll ask for a motion that we resume our standing orders. Thank you. Moved, Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Petitions and presentations. Councillors, I believe we have a couple of petitions, so Councillor Mitchell, over to you.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. As was just discussed, I'd like to present the petition from the residents, some residents requesting council to act urgently to wind up Redlands Investment Corporation. I'd move that the petition be received for consideration and stand as an order of the day for the meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Mitchell. Move, Councillor Mitchell. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously, and I think Councillor Tolte is out of the room. Is that absent? Just checking. Not present. Sorry. Just trying to remember. Don't look at me like that, Councillor. I'm just... I probably give them the bum steer. Thank you. Councillor Edwards, I also believe you have a petition.
Thank you. A petition from residents requesting council not to construct a 600 car park space allotment on Moores Farm, including relocation of the boat ramp northern side of Wynnum Creek. I move the petition be received and referred to a committee or the Chief Executive Officer for consideration and report to the local government.
So I move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor Hughes. No further discussion, Councillor? Great, thank you. Okay. Put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? That motion is carried. You might need to take that one offline. Sorry, councillor.
Excuse me, Mayor.
Sorry, we've dealt with the item, councillor. You can maybe raise it with Councillor Edwards after the meeting. All right. Now, Councillor Edwards, did you want to present the other petition or do you want to leave that for officers to deal with for next meeting? Yeah, okay, thank you. All right. Not been advised of any other presentations, so we'll go on to the order of business. Councillors, are there any motions to alter the order of business? No? We'll move straight on to the agenda then. Our first item is 12.1, the 2018 monthly financial reports. Mover and second of that. Thank you. Move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards? Deborah, do you mind addressing the report? Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Williams. Through you, Chair. Thank you, councillors, for the opportunity. The report tabled in front of you is at the end of December 2018, so it's the first 6 months of the financial year, or the midway point. You'll have noticed that 10 out of the 11 key performance indicators are met. The one that we're falling short is the very stretched target of the asset sustainability ratio. I'm reassured by our offices that we're actually doing the renewals that are required. It's just not hitting the 90%. So when assets are required to be renewed, that is indeed happening. We see that the statement of comprehensive income shows a favourable operating surplus, and I know that's a strong focus for council laws, in the main due to expenditure, some of that being a timing difference and some of that being water consumption that is underspent, and strong cash balances at the end of December 31. Happy to take any questions, councillors.
Do we have any questions, councillors? Any comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion is carried, and Councillor Tolte is not present. And it's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 12.2, Amendment of Local Law, Animal Management 2015, Register Animals in Public Places. Mover and seconder for that, thank you. Move, Councillor Mitchell. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
No, Madam Mayor, I think it's all fairly clear in the report. Just like to move the opposite recommendation.
Are there any speakers against? No speakers against? Okay, we'll put the motion then. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. And Councillor Tolte is not present. Councillors, item 12.3, proposed review of Local Law Number 7, Bathing Reserve. Move, Councillor Boglari. Seconded, Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Thank you. I'd just like to give a point of clarification. After we had public consultation on this, quite a few of the user groups of Wellington Point came out, and it was a really constructive consultation because we've worked out that our local law from when Noah was sailing the bay, I think, we've had 400 metres as our just guideline, and it's just blanket across any bathing reserve in Redlands. And we've now worked out that 400 metres was actually based on Cylinder Beach, which has a very large beach area, so therefore that, and surfers and all of that, so it's a totally different user to other areas across the city. So we're actually going to have bathing reserves, but different bathing area sizes around the city now to address that different places have different users. So the 400 metres has been changed for Wellington Point at the moment to 200 metres, because that is a minor change and that can go through. But with consultation with windsurfers and everything, that there will be now further consultation, and it will be reduced possibly in the future to the 100 metres, which is what has been asked on, and in consultation with all the various user groups. Officers are also deciding this is very user-friendly for that area. But to get it down to 200, and we don't have to have it at 400 in that interim period, we will reduce it to 200 now and then go through the lengthy, as I said, to the residents. It's sort of like one of those office that you see on TV processes that we have, very bureaucratic, but it is the Local Government Act and we do have to follow it. So it'll be 200 in the interim and then we'll reduce it later, which will suit the windsurfers, because so many of the people that came out on, and the kites, so many people that came out were from Brisbane, who come down because it's the area in this region for sailboarding and everything. So we're definitely attracting outside dollars into the city by this as well. So I just wanted to make that clear, because a couple of them read the report and were a bit concerned. So I have written it step by step for them, and it's clear now today. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. Are there any other questions or speaker against us? Comment or question? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Just want to acknowledge that this, as Councillor Boglari has suggested, the local lawmaking process is a rather large stick, and there's not a lot of finessing that can be done in the detail and unless we get feedback from the community. And so Councillor Boglari has worked very hard to make sure that that process has happened, and even up until yesterday afternoon we were discussing with officers that the way of nuancing this going forward will rely very much on feedback from citizens and user groups, and there is a consultation phase to continue. And we are all very aware that there's multiple uses that happen down in that area. So between the lifesavers and citizens and the local council and the various user groups, keeping that feedback and those communication flows going is going to be very important, so that we can make sure we stay on the right side of this. So thank you very much. It's good to have some clarity and safety down there. Hope the jellyfish don't come.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Okay, are there any other comments or questions? No need to wrap up, Councillor Boglari. Did you want to say anything further? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Tolte, Bishop, Williams. Those against? Councillor Gleeson. Thank you, councillors. The next item is our delegated reports. 12.4 review. Oh no, pardon me. It's not delegated reports. It's delegations to the CEO. 12.4 mover and seconder for that. Move Councillor Hughes. Seconder Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. Moving item 12.4 review of delegations to the Chief Executive Officer, and we all have our packs with that. That's all in the report. Thank you, Mayor.
Speakers against? Questions, comments? Councillor Boglari?
The attachment to this, I think, was could be used as a doorstop, and I just it was huge to look through and to read, and I thought maybe the CEO, as it's all to do with him, might have comment. Like, there's nothing have, and I have asked via email yesterday, was he happy with it all? So I just thought, as it's concerning the CEO, perhaps a comment from him.
I think it's an LGAQ document, but I'll let the CEO might want to explain.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor, and thanks, Councillor Boglari. Yes, this whole pack is actually based on the LGAQ register, and it's been reviewed by our legal services, and there are no amendments to the register, so it is a standard procedure.
Thank you, CEO. Any further questions or comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 12.5, Redlands Investment Corporation Governance Review. Moved Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
That'll teach me.
Yes, I'd just like to move the motion as per the recommendation. Thank you, Madam Mayor. We've reviewed it, and I believe that the review has been substantial and all of the concerns have been addressed, and I'm happy to support it. Thank you.
Speaker against? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
So, Madam Mayor, in relation to an email sent yesterday relating to matters that I've raised previously, in terms of the this constitution, my view is that from the original establishment of Redlands Investment Corporation, from the original object, which is listed on page 3 of the constitution, 828 of this report, it speaks about the objects of RIC as the object being to deal with council land, to buy, sell, develop, manage, lease, license and contract in relation to, and it goes on to speak about the object, which is very much along the lines of the fiscal return to benefit council financially. And I note that when the previously mentioned proposal for rezoning of council land and then potential subsequent sale was discussed, it came to conclusion that there was a change in the philosophy through a mayoral minute on the 9th of December 2015, asking for a revised business plan and revised statement of corporate intent to place an onus on funding to balance the long-term impacts of investments and financial returns, also to take account the broader community needs, including social and environmental impacts, and thirdly, to investigate deploying capital responsibility to stimulate the local Redlands economy and create jobs, and fourthly, to consider the above with a focus on intergenerational equity, which was supported all councillors supported. Councillor Gleeson was not present. It was proposed in that a subsequent it would be at the 27th of January 2016. It was proposed that revised business plan and statement of corporate intent would be presented back. I'm not sure that that's ever been presented back. And my request is that as we are currently publicly looking at the constitution, that the object, which is sets the objectives of RIC, is the place that should be put, because I don't believe that's been enshrined in the constitution of the entity, and I think for councillors' sake and for the citizens' sake that this worthwhile requesting for that to be done and integrated into the object. If that can be done at this point, that would be ideal. I don't have a motion.
If I may just get John to respond, because the statement of intent has been altered, and basically as today with the governance review, it really reflected the intention but was articulating it more clearly. So I believe we have the statement of intent here, and I might just get John to refer to that, if you don't mind, John.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Now, I don't have all the history on this, so apologies. Most of you have lived through this more than me, but the council decision back then to change the statement of corporate intent was enacted, and the current statement of corporate intent basically has verbatim those words in there, as does the current business plan for RIC. The statement of corporate intent is available on the web, so it's publicly available out there, and so those things are articulated in there. They are not, did not find their way into the constitution, because that was not what council decided at that time. Council does have power to make changes to the constitution. We're doing that today, but obviously that's a policy decision of council. There's no running away from the fact, though, that it is out there that RIC needs to live by these requirements, and that council resolution was enacted. I don't know if anything came back, but certainly that's what's been currently published, and that's how they are operating. The only thing I will add to that is, don't forget that it is a separate company. I don't want to remind you what you already know, but those directors' primary responsibility is about the solvency of that company. So they must they are certainly taking into account these things, but at the end of the day, they have to make sure that they can trade solvently, or otherwise they are exposing themselves to some liability, which none of us would expect them to do.
Thank you. Are there any further comments, councillors?
Yeah. So could I propose then an amendment to the recommendation?
What's your amendment, councillor?
That officers provide information about... that we incorporate the revised statement of corporate intent and that be integrated into the constitution of Redlands Investment Corporation.
Councillor, I just might get some legal advice on that, because they're two very different documents.
Let me ask a separate question then.
One's a legalistic approach, and the other one is as important, but doesn't. Those sorts of things would be challenged in the court, whereas these things can be challenged in the public domain.
Then a question to officers, if I may, through you, Madam Mayor, just to ask officers, is there any way that that statement of intent, which was revised, is there any way that could be integrated into the constitution of RIC in a way that would give me confidence that in the public interest is being served by the object of the Redlands Investment Corporation?
I thought that was what the question was trying to do. I'll get a response from officers. I think they're two very different approaches, but officers?
I think you could certainly make that request if that was the will of council, but please don't do it on the floor here, because we will need to make sure that we do meet those legal requirements, and obviously it would be a courtesy and good manners and good business for us to consult with Rick about this as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you could ask, council could ask for us to investigate the possibility of incorporating the mission from the statement of corporate intent, because that's where most of those words find themselves, into the constitution of the Redland Investment Corporation. And we would bring back a report after we had done that work, met our legal requirements, consulted with Rick.
Can I suggest, before you bring back a report, that you actually bring back just a briefing note for councillors first to consider a report, because it's a whole other world of expense and
a et briefing cetera. Note would be sufficient for me to have that confidence.
Thank you. And then we can decide how we want to move.
So. Yes, that's the other issue. Could this matter lie on the table for this meeting? Would there be any concern with us doing that at this point?
The CEO has a concern. I think what we're trying to do today is reflect the current status of how it's operating. So, CEO? So,
Madam Mayor, our officer's advice is that what's here is a good practice and a timely update of the Constitution Service Agreement. And what I'm hearing you say is there's nothing in here that couldn't go through. So my suggestion would be to actually let this go through, approve it so these changes can be made, because there are some important changes in here that
I believe
need to go through, and that's our officer's belief that need to go through, and we could still do as you've asked. So I don't think it's one or the
other.
I don't think they need to be tied together.
Thank you.
I don't think they're different.
I do believe in the public interest that's worth asking, and given that it has not been clarified or resolved in a public forum since then, that as we're looking at the Constitution, that question is fairly asked at this time. So it was adopted, but I don't believe that it's actually necessarily gone public through the agendaed minutes since then. So I'll let that question
sit. It was certainly enacted anyway.
Yeah, but I just think it's important in terms of the public's oversight and through us.
My question to the officers, do we actually need an amendment to the motion, or can you just provide us with a briefing note based on the discussion today? What would you prefer?
I think the CEO's, and we've all given an undertaking, and it's pretty public that we'll provide that briefing note to council. So I don't believe you need a resolution for that to happen. It's part of what we do as our job anyway. So
thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm just seeking some clarification. Obviously, it was 2015. So I'm just asking again. You have a mayoral minute, or we have a mayoral minute, that these points are added to RIC constitution. No, the changes that were endorsed in a 2000 mayoral minute into the REC constitution, is how I'm reading this.
That's my email.
That's not mine, that's
Councillor
Bishop. Okay, so I may be reading that, so I'm seeking clarification. So that's not the mayoral minute. So the mayoral minute was that these were. Okay, my misunderstanding. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other questions, councillors, or comments? Councillor Elliott?
Just a comment, thanks, Mayor. Yeah, look, I think it's good value. We certainly improved a few things. No, there's not a lot changed. 10 million out of 5 and things like that. I think the community needs to be assured, and I've had reservations at the time, and some things I still do, and some, yeah. But council has viewed every land transaction that's gone on. And this little black duck wouldn't be sitting here if I thought it was corrupt, I could tell you. And it's certainly it's a view, and we know the government is looking at these type of things. There's only a few around the place, but certainly we need to be mindful of that. And but certainly I think the review was well worth doing, and the service agreement is a completely different animal. And I look forward to that briefing, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Any other comments, Councillor Boglari?
Just the comment on this one, I agree wholeheartedly with Councillor Bishop's, and I look forward to his what he was talking about, the briefing note coming, and I look forward to that, and I do agree it should be in here. What is making me happy about this is there'll be further auditing and everything and greater transparency come about by this. So while Rick is around, this is actually an improvement on the past standards that were there, I think. Not that anything was wrong with them, but this has actually increased that transparency with what's happening now.
Any other comments? I think it's important to note that this governance review actually reflects how we've been operating of recent times. So it really is just doing the catch-up, and I note that today we received a petition that raised concerns about Rick, and so we obviously dealing with this through a governance review. It's fair to say too, and Councillor Elliott's right, the government is looking at this, and I believe that what has been discussed broadly across the state, this will be very satisfactory to what the state's intent is, and we will have further discussions, and I'm keen to invite people who have been working in this space. For example, the administrator at Ipswich who's been dealing with this, Greg Chimello, and I'm keen to have him come and speak to us about how these subsidiary companies of councils can be very effective, and also obviously making sure that our governance is in place and the transparency is there. But I need to add, as I said yesterday, the Corporations Act is a far more rigorous piece of legislation than what we actually as councillors abide by. If you do the wrong thing, you go to jail. And so anyone on the board would be very, very aware of that. And as John has said also, the solvency of those organisations are critical to their success and to their subsistence. So thank you, councillors. I just thought this actually does start to deal with the petition that we received today as well as we'll get further information in regards to the statement of intent, which also reflects what council currently does. So. Okay. Anyone to sum up? Sorry, Councillor Tolte.
No, Madam Mayor. I'm very confident that the model and the activities of RIC will hold up to any scrutiny, and I'm happy to move the motion. Thank you.
Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Moving on now to our delegated authority decisions for 13.1, councillors. Mover and seconder for that. Move, Councillor Hughes. Seconder, Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
No, thank you, Mayor. It is all in the report. Just noting that we had the Christmas break, and my division, Division 8, was very, very quiet over the Christmas holiday. No one was doing anything there much. Thank you.
Any other questions, councillors? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 13.2, the P&E matters. Councillors, a mover and seconder. Move, Councillor Boglari. Seconded, Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Yes, thank you. Through you, I'd just like to have a officer please do some clarification around number 6. This is just the general report listing it. But due to some community concern about what's happening with this actual application, there's actually two applications and...
Sure, I'll ask Chris to come and explain
that for
you.
I could just get an officer to have that clarification so it's clear, please.
Thank you, Councillor. Through the Chair. So the Benetton appeal is currently adjourned until April this year. So the applicant has lodged another application, a new application, in an attempt to address the issues in dispute in the appeal. And that application is currently being assessed by Council.
Laurie?
Thank you, because some people aren't quite understanding that there's actually two applications now. So the original one is in court on pause, and they have submitted a new one with some new design elements under the new city plan, and that is the one that is now being assessed. So there has been absolutely no decisions made on it. That's what I want clear. And the officers at present are still deciding and assessing it, asking for information. I'm in contact with the residents in that area over it. So I just wanted to make that totally clear, because it's not usual we have two applications on the same lots at the same time, and that has caused confusion. Thank you. And the rest is just an accountable update on everybody.
Thank you, Councillor Bulgari. Are there any other comments or questions? Put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Item 13.4, response to the Wynnum Creek petition. Pardon me. 13.3. Thank you. Trying to get out of here, councillors. Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Oh, just very, very briefly. It's just a minor adjustment to our fees and charges in relation to placement of shipping containers on land, just to allow us to assess things properly.
Speaker against, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Look, I understand that we need to reflect the work that goes into assessments in the structure of the fees. The justification for this is to reflect the work that goes into assessing other types of storage facilities, such as sheds, etc. To my mind, and just as a layperson and as a resident, and as someone who deals with a lot of residents who are having to deal with applications, these fees are just too high. To my mind, they're both about $200 too high. And I don't think that this amount reflects the work that will be required to assess it. It's just too much, I'm sorry. This doesn't reflect community standards as far as the application goes. People who are applying for these things, I can't see the justification for the fees to be this high. If someone can give me some justification for that, then perhaps I'll reconsider, but I won't be supporting this, unless you want to leave it lay on the table and discuss it later.
Speaker 4, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'd just like to draw to Councillor Tolte's attention. An application with associated fee for a temporary shipping container is only required if the container does not meet self-assessment criteria. So if we could have someone maybe explain the self-assessment criteria, not sure if that would appease Councillor Tolte, because it's my understanding if it's a self-assessment where someone's moving in, moving out, they're here for a couple of days, loading, they will not need to be paying these fees. So that I could be incorrect.
Graham, can I ask you to respond to that?
On that? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you. I can respond to that. So there are self-assessment criteria within the local law, and the purpose of that is to try and, I guess, discourage too many applications. So less applications, the better, by giving an opportunity for people to put a shipping container either temporarily or permanently without actually attracting an application. So so that's there. So you're right. For temporary shipping containers, if someone's moving house, I think there's a period, might be 90 days of memory for the shipping container to be permitted on the property without a fee, and also permanently if there's a single shipping container on some zone properties. So the fees have been worked out based on similar applications that are done through our city planning branch. So The process is very similar, so that's why those fees have been recommended for adoption. They do reflect the amount of work that is required to do those assessments, so that's where we've arrived at those amounts.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Graham, can you just give a basic outline of the criteria for self-assessable for the rural area, please?
So there's two components, so temporary or permanent. As I mentioned, if you're moving house, there's a period you can put a container without requiring a permit. And also if you've got a building permit for construction, you're allowed to keep the container until such time as the final inspection is done on that building work. So they're the self-assessment criteria for temporary containers. For permanent and rural properties, I believe it's one container that is permitted without having to require a permit.
And is that application fee per container or per application?
It's per application.
So my people who are operating in the rural area with rural activities who are on 30 or 40 or 50 acres and keep a container down on the back paddock to manage their cattle and keep another container in the front paddock to manage their fencing and another container over the back where they park their tractor and move it around, they're going to be up for, well, somewhere between $700 and $1,200 to put their two extra containers in their back paddock.
Can I just get you to respond, Graham? Is that the case?
So probably just a couple of things. So one is that the local law doesn't get in the way of lawful use rights. So potentially if the containers are being used for a practice which is lawful on the property, then it may not require an application in the first place. And secondly, I'm not sure how you've calculated that amount. I probably just need to probably look at that a little bit more closely before I could comment.
Yeah, no, this is not reasonable.
Sorry. Are there any other questions, speakers against? Okay, no comments or questions? Sum up, Councillor Mitchell.
Yes, thanks, Mayor. The officers have let us know that the fees, there was some concern around them. They actually do reflect the amount of work being done, which is terrific, and that's what we'd expect for our public. Temporary use of containers are allowed for things if you're moving and building for a period of time, and worth noting Councillor Tolte's concerns in the rural area, and may indeed need to be some work done in the future if there are a number of concerns raised. Thank you.
Put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Gleeson, Bishop, Williams, those against Councillor Tolte. Thank you, councillors. Now we have 13.4, response to the Wynnum Creek petition. Could I have a mover and seconder? Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Golay. Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to it? Any speakers against? Put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Councillors, 14.1, I'm going to declare my material personal interest and ask Councillor Tolte. Second time I've done that. Councillor Boglari, sorry. You need to change the colour of your hair, girls. To take the chair. Thank you.
Okay, 14.1, can I have a mover, please? Or we put the... Okay, or do we put the alternate one up? By the alternate motion. We need to increase the font size. Is there anything on the screen? So, okay, so we've got an alternate motion. Councillor. So this, and this will become the motion? Okay, sorry, I didn't actually see this come through. Right, so can I have a mover for the motion, please, as is now? Councillor Elliott, and a seconder, Councillor Golay. Councillor Elliott, would you like to speak to the motion?
Something going on, eh? 14.1, Eastern Escarpment Conservation Area Plan connected with recreation, and move the Officer recommend the officer's recommendation with the amendment as you see it on the screen.
Is there a speaker for the motion?
It says implementation, Councillor, of the plan will be subject to the annual capital works and budget prioritisation process.
I've looked at the strike through, missed it. Yep.
Okay. Councillor Bishop?
Madam Mayor, Madam Councillor. Madam Councillor, Chair, I'm speaking in favour of this particularly because of the recent discussions that we've had. I believe that it's important that we have a plan for this area. It was even mentioned, a point that hadn't been raised to me previously was due to the area that we are talking about, the Eastern Escarpment area bordering onto the Barrow Quarry. There's a reason why we need to have strategic planning and we need to have thought put into why this sort of work gets done. There are elements in this report that start to talk about fiscal budgeting for delivery of infrastructure, which I don't agree with at this point. I absolutely agree that we need to have a plan and we need to have clarification that the area has some designation for use to be proceeded with by various groups, but I don't believe that full resource allocation from council should fund it. I think it is appropriate to have this amendment, implementation of the plan being subject to annual capital works and budget prioritisation, because there are many things across the city that we need to put our focus and energy into, but to support all those who use this recreational area and other recreational areas, unless there is a plan in place, you can't put resources toward anything. So to help officers, to help residents, and to help community groups to get funding, the plan's important. I don't agree that we should proceed with the funding bids that are proposed. I believe that we should have a staged approach to that, and that we should go through a series of hierarchical approaches to that, so that we don't promise to, you know, gild the lily, so to speak, from the outset, that we allow that to grow slowly over time, and I believe the adoption of the plan as it's amended is the right way to go. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against? Councillor Tolte?
Well, some comments and questions if I can, Madam Chair. Look, I'm all for building the trail connection of the Eastern Escarpment. I've been a huge supporter of Seven Seas Trail Network and the work that the officers have done and the work that we've done so far to progress those trail parks has been fantastic. But there are lessons that we have and should have learned through the work that we've done so far, and I'm not seeing those lessons reflected in this report. I'd like to call councillors' attention to page 924 of the report, which is an image taken at a public consultation at Indigiscapes some 2 years ago. Now, the people that you see in that image are people from all of the respective user groups. I can see people there who are from the walkers and runners group, individual members of the community. There are members of the local horse riding community, and there are representatives from the Trail Care Network and the mountain biking clubs. The feedback that has come back from the user groups is that mountain bikers like to have the trails, and that riders and walkers and runners would prefer not to share trails with mountain bikes, and vice versa. Bikes don't want to come across a walker and endanger them, and walkers and horse riders have problems with sharing a trail with the bikes, that they are frightened of it, and the potential for calamity is there. Now, that feedback was given very clearly, and on the night in question that this photograph was taken, I raised the problem with the manager at the time that I was not hearing the officers acknowledging that the officers were not hearing the feedback that was being given. And I was told, yes, we've talked to the officers, we recognise that. If we come back to the report that we have here today on page 901, Trail and User Experience, paragraph 1, walking and cycling, the riders are left out of there. The tables all reflect the concerns of mountain bikers primarily, and that's not unreasonable in that mountain bikers make up the largest number of users. However, we need to have tables that reflect all of the users and all of the concerns, and then we need to find a trail network design which allows for that. And I'm just seeing that bias continually coming through and not being addressed. We can see on page 209 the table, the types of trails, both current and planned for the future. And we see them divided into multi-use fire trails, horses, walking and mountain biking, downhill mountain biking and shared use trail, mountain biking and walking. Now, walkers do not want to share with mountain bikers, and mountain bikers do not want to share with walkers. Horse riders do not want to share with mountain bikers, and mountain bikers do not want to share with horses. But that's what's reflected in the report. There are very strong reasons for this, and this is what's been coming through in the community consultation and feedback all the way through, but it still doesn't make it into these reports. And I understand that, you know, and I have talked to officers, and I know that they do their best to balance all of the concerns of all the different groups, but for some reason, and whether it's efficiency of resourcing or convenience, because they have to build fire trails anyway, so it's just easier to stick everybody on a fire trail, we're paying a lot of money and we're putting a lot of hard work and into these trail networks, and they should reflect the community consultation and feedback. So whilst I absolutely want this plan to go ahead and I absolutely want the trail network to be built at Eastern Escarpment, I would like it, please, for the end user plan to reflect that feedback and separate mountain bikers from walkers, runners and riders. Thank you.
Councillor Tolte, you mentioned you'd like some clarification from officers. Was there a direct question that an officer can assist you with today?
Well, can someone show me where this report reflects that feedback and how that will be considered in the end report? Because if we approve this today as it is, I'm not seeing any assurance that will come through in the end result of what is built.
Can I ask if there is an officer? Peter, is there an officer present that we could possibly call on?
Madam Chair, there is an officer, Francis Hudson. If Francis would please come to the microphone. If I can just make a point. This is a plan. It is a plan. Part of the next phase of development, implementation of the plan, will require consultation on layouts, use of tracks and other trails within that conservation area. So that is the opportunity as we start to develop the infrastructure within the park of finessing how those trails, tracks, pathways and other infrastructure will be used by the user groups who are destined to use the conservation area in the future.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could just ask further.
Did you want clarification on your points already through Francis?
I would like to allow Francis the opportunity to address all of the issues, so I'd like to respond if I can.
Yep, okay. So get a list ready, Francis.
We had public consultation and meetings with the user groups. The feedback was very clear and consistent at every opportunity. The bias remains in this report. Officer Best is telling me that the plan will come back and then people will have it. What's the problem?
No. Peter said during the implementation changes could be made, not that this actual plan would come back.
What he said was that they would implement this report, design the trails, and then put them out to public consultation.
Okay, so how about...
At which point the trails will already be designed for those users to share the trails the way that it is outlined in this report.
Okay, so at this point I'm going to ask Frances to actually give us her points for clarification. I didn't hear you say that.
Put order.
Yes, Councillor Elliott, what is your point of order?
The councillor is referring that there's bias by the officers of this council. I want that to draw.
Councillor Tolte, that was your personal opinion.
There's bias in the report. I'm sorry, but there is bias in the report. That is what I'm arguing.
I don't accept that.
That's fine. You're entitled.
Chair, I can confirm that there's quite often bias in many of the reports.
It's her opinion.
Okay, that's...
Well,
it's not a personal bias. It is a bias toward a particular
model. Okay, that is Councillor Tolte's own opinion. I'm going to let it go at the moment, but I am saying discussion stops now and Francis will be giving a update and what the officer's point of view is, please.
Yep. Good morning, councillors. Thank you very much. Trying to answer Councillor Tolte's points that this plan is an overall guide and it says it is a high-level document. Certainly the detailed design that comes from here, so it does set out an overall framework and that's around that connectivity primarily. In the design development, that's when we need to go back to some of those lessons learned that you have talked about in terms of the specifications. So we know that horses on those fire trails find their hoofs difficult and therefore, the specifications around the trails that we have there need to work for all the users and all the different, particularly the management requirements around our fire. So we need to make sure that the specifications, if we do go down to that level where there is multi-use, that it is meeting all the requirements. It does have to be balanced because we do need to make sure that its primary function for those fire management trails work for that particular purpose. That is a primary responsibility. Going further, there was some there was a workshop we talked about, and then we also had a on-site look at some of the particular downhill trail areas, and there was acknowledgement at that meeting, which was also reflected in the consultation here, that yes, there is those separation issues because of the conflicts, but again, those trails at that detail level need to be designed to make sure that they are meeting both the environmental elements that we need to make sure that they're not causing further erosion and those sort of things, but also reducing and minimising as best possible those conflicts between particularly cyclists who do move faster and our walkers and cyclists. So there was that separation. So there's a downhill track in here that sort of shows that yes, it's one line at the moment, it shows multi-use, but it may need to be separated based on that detailed design. And that's why the costs in those take you through that process, not only around the construction, but actually resourcing that consultation that needs to happen from a design level. So my confidence is that this is a high-level document. It sets the scene. It gives us the blueprint to say, here are the connection opportunities. But there's a whole lot of other things in there, like the wayfinding. That is a particular element that is missing from that reserve at the moment, even for just the existing trails that exist in there. So we need to make sure that we're balancing all those aspects together. It was the trail recommendations that come through here were based on a whole number of elements, including our environment, user demands, current formation of where those trails are, because some of them would need to be closed and relocated because they're not working properly. So I suppose what I'm trying to really point to is that this is an overall plan, it's a high-level document. We do need to refine it, and we do need to take some of those lessons learned and make sure that we are putting the right specifications in and responding to on ground, because even though it's a nice big line on the plan now, that does not translate directly to ground because of a whole range of other elements that we need to look at in there. So.
Councillor Tolte, we've heard your concerns. Do you have an alternate motion that you wanted to put up at all?
I would just like to ask, so when we look at it doesn't change the fact that the officers who are given the job of now going forward to put the next phase of this plan in place will be working with this document, and this document does not acknowledge a driver to separate bikes from the other users. So if we could have some assurance or something
here. So would you like to put some wording together for an alternate motion?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. It's just a dot point that simply says... officers will work to create a trail network that engages, reflects concerns for multi-use tracks. Happy to leave it lie on the table and bring it back next time.
The officer has actually already stated that that will happen, and I understand you just want more certainty on that. If we do lie it on the table, I'll just ask advice, does exactly the same report come back, or can it...
So
lying on the table won't give you that certainty.
Allow us to make that dot point. I'm just looking for surety that... Because every time I raise this with officers, I get... lip service to say it will happen. I've been raising it for 3 years.
I won't let you use that language,
Councillor
Tolte.
I've taken...
No, I'm asking you to...
back to 2 years.
Councillor Tolte, I have been lenient, but I'm going to ask you to withdraw that comment, because I
withdrawn.
Certainly...
Withdrawn.
Thank you. What, so, you well, said withdrawn?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, either we're going to have an alternate motion, but at the moment I'm going to ask for a speaker for the motion, because we have heard your concerns. Is there a speaker for the motion? Councillor Mitchell.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think the strategic plan moving forward is important, and I believe this is what gives us that certainty. I think the concerns raised are valid and need to be managed by the officers, and I've got every faith in that. I think the... what I don't want to see is the emotion of concerns of some user groups, or the bias I don't want to see is one user group versus another. I think the officers are under our direction and or request will do a great job in making sure that every user group is looked after. I think much like our roads, every trail is different. So I'd hate to see an overall catch-all where every trail has to be separated for users of a specific sort. I don't think that's required, but there will be some trails in some networks that will be appropriate for some users and not for others. So I'm very supportive of the Eastern Escarpment Conservation Area Plan and the connections between Bayview, Redlands Track Park and the Eastern Escarpment. I note the concerns, but I really want to make sure that it's based on evidence and world's best practice around any separation of trails that are required, because I think my experience as a mountain biker, runner, walker, the one thing I don't do is ride horses, is that on most trails and most places there is great cooperation between users, but there will be some areas where perhaps by design it's inappropriate. I do have one sort of question to officers based on the number of users in our track parks now, which is quite substantial. Are there many reported conflicts or incidents rather than the perception of incidents that occur? So is there some reports?
Madam Chair, Councillor Mitchell, we'll take that question on notice and provide a response. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, done.
Councillor Golay, you were next. Are you speaking against? Okay, as we're in formal discussion at the moment, so is there another speaker against the motion? Nope. So a speaker for the motion? Councillor Edwards?
Yes, it's my understanding that once an officer's report can't be changed, so the way it is the way it is, the way it happens. I was unaware of Councillor Tolley's concern about the separation. Separation of the walkers from the cyclists and the cyclists, and looking through the report, that becomes obvious to me. I think we need to move forward on this, and I feel that the concerns raised now, that it will give me a level of confidence from what the officers already said that they will address this, and I was just wondering whether Councillor Tolte, would you agree that would you consider this progressing on the basis of that we've been told by officers that they will take this into consideration, because I do think it is a very serious safety matter. So I think it's not only going to be yourself as councillor looking for that to be included, but there'll be other councillors as well. I just hate to see this work stop and not progress.
So would I.
So I think officers have told us there's the next stage. I have trust in the officers that they'll do that. I'd like to see this progress and not held up, and I'm sure all of us would like to see that work come in due course to identifying the exact nature of the trails.
Madam Chair, can I
thank
propose
you.
Alteration to the motion, please?
I will. I'm just wanting to get through the formal discussion at the moment. Is there a against the motion at the moment? Nope. And if you don't mind, Councillor Golay, I'll go into informal to allow the other questions at the moment. Okay, Councillor Golay, would you like to ask your question, please, and your concern?
Yeah, it's more of an observation, Madam Chair. We walked those trails last year. As you know, you were there as well. My concern is that there is a bit of an overlap. So you have fire trails where a bike track will divert off a fire trail and come back into a fire trail. It seems to be very mixed up there. And I know that the officer that took us out through that area explained how the riders are actually starting to build or have built their own trail, so they themselves, as cyclists, could be separate from the horses and the walkers. So there is very much a delineation that needs to be put in place here, especially when we look at horses, and whether it's a conflict or whatever, I like horses. Horses can't just go onto a rocky, shaley fire trail without causing damage to their hooves. So that becomes a safety aspect to the riders. And mountain bikes do move. I think it was described to us at 70 kilometres an hour on some of those downhill runs. You're not going to pull that mountain bike up pretty quick if there's a horse coming up that trail or walkers coming along that trail. So there does need to be a very clear delineation in any sort of strategic plan to show exact points of where those three different sports, if you will, or activities can operate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, Councillor Tolte.
I've just sent some words to Danny. It's just a dot point to add to the motion as it already sits. It just says the design work will acknowledge. Okay.
We can just...
Well, if you just add design work will acknowledge to the front of that sentence, it should do it, shouldn't it? Is Sorry, I thought you could and cut I'll and paste.
And I'll repeat some words of our mayor, that we shouldn't be doing these things on the run at the meetings. Well, we're at this... We're at this point
it's
now. We'll see what the dot point amendment is.
Well, excuse me. Sorry.
Yes, Councillor.
Asking the Councillor. May I comment, please?
Yes.
Thank you. While we're just waiting on, on the dot point coming up, I think it's also pertinent to note the environmental concerns of this area, and for those councillors that were on site that did manage to get back home. It was.
Do you mean having a CPR
behind.
Stop halfway up the hill?
It was an amazing experience, absolutely. Those environmental concerns are commented on in the report and noted. There was some beautiful riparian land along those creek beds that need to be maintained and well cared for. And I note that the officers spoke to that on site, were very aware, and it was great and very heartening for us that were there to note that the councillors' officers' care for that area was very evident and very reassuring, that those areas were already highlighted and mapped and noted for future consideration. So I'd just put that on the record. That was a great comfort to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so the motion with the amendment would have that concerns in regard to the separation of multiple users, should that be? That concerns in regard to the separation of multiple users be taken into account.
Uses.
Is taken into account, including the design of specific use trails for users as appropriate. Yep.
So do you need me to move that? It's not exactly...
Hang on. Yeah, no, the CEO is going to respond.
Well, we're trying to take into account, and I'd ask Francis if that works, if that sort of reflects the comment that you made.
Okay, councillors. Councillor Tolte, do you want to put this motion to move the...
Yes, I'll move the amendment.
Hang on, I think I've got a wingman coming.
Oh. Okay. I would like to see some recognition in that dot point of separating bikes from walkers and riders, because I'm just seeing more of what I hear all the time and it doesn't happen. Sorry?
Say
that all the time.
Yes, this answer.
What we
keep
getting back.
Okay, Councillor Elliott, there's two ways you can do it. So rather than Councillor Tolte moving this motion, we can ask you, are you happy as the original seconder of the original motion, are you happy for this addition? Yes.
The thing says now we've got a price listing on the report, and now we're going to talk, and Councillor Telfy's over here saying she wants separate trails for everything. That price thing,
no.
I can't. Yes, you just did. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm talking.
Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott has the floor.
Well, I'm sick of you interrupting.
Councillor Elliott, please just continue, and Councillor Tolte will refrain. Councillor Tolte and Councillor Elliott, you'll both be out of here if this continues.
Good. No, well. You
know, no, come on, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Elliott, if you continue with what you wanted to say about this, please, in a civil manner.
Well, I'm just saying that you're changing the whole ball game. Take it back to a workshop. take it back to another workshop, because this has now changed the elements to separate trails, and it's quite clear they want horses, push bikes, you know, motorbikes, whatever you like. It's the cost is going to is blowing out. So if you're going to change the whole game, and Councillor Telting made no mention of this yesterday, not one skerrick. So I won't support it. I'll withdraw.
From okay, thank you, Councillor Elliott.
I won't be supporting that because this is...
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. I have the understanding that you're not happy and you're not going to support it. I've got the message I needed. Thank you, Councillor Elliott.
You can't accept
it. I got the message you weren't happy. So now I need to go back to Councillor Tolte. She will move this amendment and you'll have to get a seconder for it. Councillor Hughes seconded it. Now, going forward, if this is now the motion that we'll be voting on, if it goes down, we then go back to the original motion. So, now, does anyone want to speak to this new motion? Councillor Hughes, this is for the motion.
Yes, thank you. I'm supporting the concerns that Councillor Tolte has raised. They will be taken into consideration, and I am 1,000% confident with our officers that they will take these things into consideration and bring them back to us. This is moving the report forward. This is accepting the report and taking into concern the issues raised by Councillor Tolte. I don't see any change in the finances at this point, and we can be looking at that into the future. Thank you.
Can I have clarification by an officer, please, on the financial implication of putting this in, because we've got two councillors with conflicting views there and this might help.
Madam Chair, and please chip in, Francis and Brad, if you wish. As I said earlier when I opened, there would be, and Francis reinforced, as we design the park, there'll be capital expenditure and operational expenditure requirements which have to, by condition, in the first part of this motion, through the implementation of the plan, will be subject to annual capital and works and budget prioritisation processes. So we just can't go and spend money for the sake of spending money. This is probably a long-term proposition in terms of the development of this area, and it will be staged, guaranteed. Therefore, the funds required to build the tracks, trails, other infrastructure in the park will have to come back to council, and they can make decisions for approval of the funding through capital works programs and operational works programs on an annual basis. So that's the safeguard. The safeguard is in the first paragraph of this now revised motion. Francis and Brad.
So just for clarification, 101 on page 903, where it says budget forecast of those figures, they are not set in cement. Page 903 of the report, where there are those figures there saying budget forecast of X amount, and it's all listed by the words in the Scott endorsed report. We're not actually endorsing those figures, and everything as it comes forward will come back to council as a budget consideration,
as we are required to do,
as we are required to do, due process.
Correct.
Okay, now I'm going to a speaker against the motion, the new motion. Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Chair. The thing is, it puts table three, we don't know what the figure is, but the figure could have a one in front of it. You know, this report was written on assumptions, and now the whole ball game's changed. So we're now going, and Peter's just said it'll come up in budget, so it could be $2 million. You know, I don't know. This is supposed to be an indicator to the public where we're spending money, but you may as well just bring one sheet along and say, we're going to do this, financial implications. We do a budget each year, we'll see how you go. Because you read these things to get the financial... I don't know what the financial implications are now. I don't know. And if you want to do this, go back, have another workshop, get the officer to write a new report, bring it back to council, and we'll have another look at it. But certainly, you've got a report here, you know, and I don't know the end game. I do not know the cost of what this is going to cost, you know. It's like building the Harbour Bridge and you say, you know, it's going to cost $2 million. Oh, we'll do this, 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 and it's still going to be $2 million? I don't think so. And that's my concern, is that we're wasting our time with financial application. If you change this on the run, want to workshop it again, knock yourself out, and then bring it up and let the officer's report come up. But the officer's report would be based, the costings would be based on their assumptions. Those assumptions are wildly changed now for separate powers. Separate, and that's what's going to be demanded from what I'm hearing. So, you know, you don't know the cost, and I'm not putting my hand up for a cost I don't know what the answer's for. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Totally. Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Now I need a speaker for the motion. Councillor Edwards.
Yes, thank you. Look, I'll address the cost. I've can't recall any report that's come to us with a budget that starts off with a high level estimate that delivers on that amount at the end of the day, because there's lots of procedures that go through and things change. I don't think that there's any great indicative change that would be proposed from having one trail. You're still making a trail. You might say, well, the cyclists are not on that trail, but it's still a trail that would have been in the report. I don't see any problem with this motion. I'd like to see it move forward. I think the thinking that everything hinges on a few numbers there, that a higher level estimate of budget, I don't think that's based on past reports that we've had estimates of figures, that they usually change by the time we get unders and overs. That happens all the time, it swings and roundabouts. So I don't think that's going to be a case for me to change my position to supporting this going forward.
Thank you. Speaker against the motion. Councillor Bishop.
Yeah, I am of the view that we should bring this back at a subsequent meeting to discuss it. Democracy is a tremendous thing. My thoughts have changed in this discussion. When I gave my initial support for the plan, that was acknowledging that I have some concerns and would prefer to see it staged, and I would like to have some certainty and surety about that staging. To me, fire trails and accessibility for people who simply want to walk and traverse it is a starting point. This plan could give some parameters as how people might move beyond that. It would keep us to a minimal cost. It would reduce the expectations of a blowout elsewhere in the budget. And I would rather not us embark upon a process with a plan without those things being nailed down and clarified. I would like us to go to, quote, a previous slogan, political slogan, back to basics on this, and I'll withdraw my support at this point. I like the plan, but I want to see all the financial stuff pitted to what that plan's going to be, and I would like us to have a discussion about this subsequently. Thank you.
Councillor Gleeson, you had your hand up before. Are you a speaker for the motion?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Look, I support the amended motion. Everyone likes the idea of the plan down in that area, but I have heard a number of community groups' concerns about shared paths. I acknowledge the risks in that and the liability that may place on council down the track. I think there'll still be a liability by having separate paths anyway, and we'll get complaints about, you know, horsey folk using the bike paths and vice versa. But by having separate paths, it at least attempts to reduce that risk, and it complies with what is being asked of us out there in the community. So, for my mind, it makes sense to support the amendment.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion? Councillor Tolte, you had your hand up. Sorry, Councillor Mitchell, you're for the motion. Sorry, Councillor Tolte, before you sum up, I'll let Councillor Mitchell have his words.
Thanks. I think on most of this we're again in furious agreement. We're really just looking at a great outcome in the Eastern Escarpment. We want it safe for all users. We want the environmental values protected. We want the connectivity across all our track park networks. We want the fire trails. So let's not lose sight of that we're looking for a great outcome across all those things for the community. Key word for this in the amendment, I'll start with the budget. It's always going to be subject to budget, and I think we're all going to be on high alert for any blowouts, as you should be across any project. So that's, our community should take that for granted, that we're all aware of budget, potential for budget blowouts, terrible word, but I'll let it stand. And that's our job. Part of our job is to make sure that we're being very, very cautious and diligent with the public money. So that's just the fact that we may be opening up a door where the project of some separate paths, if needed, will be expanded. Well, so be it, if that gives us a better outcome for the community. And if that needs to be over longer time and needs to be staged, so be it. That's what we will do at budget time, with the best advice of the officers. So I feel confident in all of us here that we'll do a good job when that comes. We're not signing up for it today. Key word in the amendment to me is appropriate. So that needs to be inherent in that to me, is that's based on the best strategic outcome, based on some facts, based on some evidence, and not based on speculation. There may indeed be some separate trials, and that might be a great enhancement, but it is the word, and inherent in appropriate is the key word for me there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Tolte, would you like to sum up? Oh, sorry, Councillor Golly, I didn't see your hand. Sorry, I didn't see your hand up before, sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. Just again, Speaker 4. So first of all, there's already separate trials existing out there. And from speaking to the officers at the site, where mountain bikers have already built their own separate trial that exists presently, my understanding was that there was going to be some risk mitigation around that in order to bring it up to spec. There's already a very prominent fire trial, and there was talk of actually cutting a new fire trial that had to have some environmental aspects around it, and it was going to connect to other larger trials in other areas outside the Redlands. I'm actually going to support this, but I do agree it has to be staged. I do agree that it has to be a long-term project. And I also want to put the focus on to us as a group, is that we already have projects in the mix that haven't been finished, and some of these projects have been sitting there for, you know, 20 years and still not finished, and they're ready for renewals. So before we start flipping out the cash for a new project, I'd like to see a lot of these projects on the books that are still sitting unfinished finished, because this could be a very different looking council next term, and every single strategic plan that we've put forward in this term could be thrown out the window. So we need to make sure that we finish what we started in this term before we start getting out the bank check for a new project. And as I said, I'll just reiterate, there's already separate trials out there. It's how are they enhanced to actually make them safe and to mitigate risk. I can't see the D9s rolling out to cut separate bike tracks and all this sort of stuff at the moment, because they're already out there. They just need to be revitalised, and there may be some extensions. So we just need
that's
to keep...
that the trials are already out there, not the D9s, just for clarity.
Yeah, the trials are out there. It's just so that we put things into some sort of perspective, especially a majority of us actually walked those trials. The officers took the time to invest and take us out there and have a look around. So before we start thinking that we're going to be spending millions of dollars cutting all these trails, a lot of the work is just revitalising what's there. Thank you.
Just before we pass to Councillor Tolte as the summing up, I was just going to give my point of view. I was with, I think it was Councillor Bishop, Hughes and Golle when Councillor Tolte and officers took us for a walk of this area. And my main concern immediately was the danger of having... I struggled, and I will admit, walking up one of the hills without having a mountain bike or another user. And they left me, may I just say. So it is an area where you could really have a lot of enjoyment by various users. But my concern is the mixed uses. And I've also had walking groups in here talking to me about this over the last year with officers, and they also had the same concerns. The officers have said that this was already going to be taken into account in the report anyway, but I guess just having it as an extra sentence just makes it clear that that is what we, that safety aspect has to be taken into account. And with the finance, if it's going to have budget prioritisation, and we've heard staging and everything here, and mixed uses on different, having different trails was already going to be taken into account, I'm going to trust the officers going forward that this isn't going to be like a financial blowout that we are endorsing and okaying to today. I will trust that process of the prioritisation. And it is an amazing area out there. That southern part of the city has got some great conservation areas, which I think for tourism going forward will be wonderful, as are many other walks throughout the city, which also will be getting the same 7C strategy looked at for them. So, Councillor Toldy, if you'd like to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see absolutely no budget implication from adding this dot point. It says in the dot point, the concerns in regard to separation are taken into account. That's what we're asking for. We're not saying separate trails at every turn, everywhere. We're saying that that has to be one of the considerations that is prioritised, rather than the way it's reflected in the report, which groups mountain bike riders and walkers together. Mountain bike riders and walkers do not want to be on the same trail. So we're not saying they're never going to be on the same trail. We're saying that we're trying to use, to consider that in the design of the trails. So, yes, please support it. It's ridiculous to argue otherwise. We need to do that.
Okay, the motion is put by Councillor Tolte. It was seconded by Councillor Hughes for memory. All in favour? Those against? There's division. Those in favour? Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golley, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott and Councillor Bishop, and the Mayor is absent for this vote. Not in the room for this vote. Thank you, Alan, for getting the Mayor. Just give us a second for the crossover of chairs. Is the Mayor there? Yep, thank you.
Thanks, councillors. A couple of mayoral minutes, just making sure that you've all received them, and if not, they're up on the screen. I think they were emailed, but you certainly received a hard copy of them yesterday. Just need to find them. Thank you. They're in the front of my folder, I know. Thank you. The first one, councillors, is in regards to our federal assistance grants, which we hope that is heard loud and clear in Canberra, and we are encouraging all councils, and I speak now as a policy executive member of LGAQ and a board member of the Australian Local Government Association, that over the years the federal assistance grants have faded from what used to be a 1% contribution to local government to half of that. There's been a freeze and it hasn't met up with inflation. It's really important to note that the federal government gets the greater amount of taxation in the country, and in fact, local government delivers a great deal of the infrastructure. So a lot of the information is in the actual body of the report. And so really this is just a really strong message that we want all councils to send to Canberra, and it's great that Redland City Council can probably kick this off for Queensland, I'm hoping. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to do my best to answer them, but it really is an advocacy piece, and local government does most of the work on the ground, and the federal government needs to acknowledge that by increasing our our federal assistance grants, which is untied funding. So for us, things like transport, marine transport, which is a unique challenge for our city, are the sorts of things that could be funded by these FAGS grant. Now, if this increase was to occur when the new government is elected, that would mean approximately $4 million to our community, which is substantial and certainly goes a long way to supporting the many assets that we are required to manage, maintain and build. Are there any questions? I'll put that mayoral minute to you, councillors. Those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. The next mayoral minute really is about our transport strategy, which has been distributed to you. As you know, that one of the most important issues to our community that we hear about on a daily basis is about good, efficient public transport and improved roads, particularly when we're talking about the state government, who have four major arterials in our city. And because our growth isn't as substantial as other parts of southeast Queensland, we often find it difficult to be acknowledged and funded for upgrades to the roads, which is as necessary for us as it is to any major city, shire or local government area. It's quite coincidental that, as you know, we've been working on our draft transport strategy, which has been out to consultation and has had significant contributions, which we thank the community for. But we recently received the state government's draft transport strategy, and there is a line in there that sort of encouraged us to think about extending our consultation to line up with theirs. And I want to refer you to 3.24 of their draft Metropolitan Regional Transport Plan, which includes an action that's specific to our city, which is Redlands Multimodal Area Transport Strategy to collaborate with Redlands City Council to develop a multimodal area transport strategy for Redlands City. The question was asked yesterday, what does that mean? It means that you should be able to get from your home to wherever you're going through a number of types of transport being multimodal, whether it be bus, train or otherwise, autonomous vehicle, whatever it might be for the future and for the current situation that we're in. So this mayoral minute simply asks us to extend our transport strategy consultation period to line up with that of the state and invite the state to actually come out and hear from our residents as well, in line with what they're proposing, because a lot of our strategy will actually rely on the state government delivering outcomes for our city. Any questions, councillors? It's fairly straightforward. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried. Thank you, councillors. I am on a stringent timeline here, so we'll see. I think our next item, there's no notice of motion. So we're on no urgent business. Flicking through to confidential items. Do we need to move into confidential, councillors? No? Any questions that need to be asked? No, it's totally up to you, councillors. Okay, well, can I have a move then that we go into confidential? Thank you, councillors. Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Tolte, Gleeson, Bishop, Williams. Those against? Councillor Golay. All right, so councillors, can you just give me a have? Could you just write me a note? No, a new motion, but we can't. We can't put that up publicly, can we? So, just... Is that... Yes. Until the conclusion of the appeal. That would be required under the Act. It's not the minor change. No, the minor change application is a statutory. It's subject to the conditions. The part you need to be looking at, kind of, if we can go back, is subject to the conditions. Can we just? Oh, it's not. Can I just go back up then? But I thought it actually covered it. Yeah. Yes.
at all. We have to have something. We have to have some resolution on the screen, don't we? Can we go to the officer's recommendation, please? Thank you. All you need to do is just. That we no objection to the proposed minor change, subject to the pre-request response conditions being included with the amended draft conditions. We're amending that. Yeah, but we can't put that in public domain, can we? Oh, okay. Is it just 3 points? Okay, here we go. Oh, okay. Can that be in the public domain? It is now. Yeah. Yep. You sure? The report. All happy? You're happy to move that, Councillor Tolte? Move Councillor Tolte. Seconded Councillor Hughes. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Edwards, Hughes, Tolte, Gleeson. Those against? Councillor Golay, Hewlett, Elliott, Bishop and Williams. Thank you. Next item is major amendment to the city plan. Yep. Yeah, to get up. 6-5. Different reasons, councillors. But I assure you. Thank you. Next item is major amendment to city plan, 19.2. Mover for that, Councillor Bishop. Seconded Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Edwards, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson. Thank you. Next item, 19.3. Moved Councillor Elliott, seconded. This is Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 19.4. Mover for the motion. Moved Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour? Those against? 19.4, Chamber. Those in favour? Those in favour, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. Those against, Councillor Elliott. Councillors, just before I close the meeting, I just wanted to put on record an item of sorry business that I mentioned last night. Just probably appropriate for us to acknowledge the passing of Aunty Ann Leishman, who was an elder of the Kui Indigenous group, and certainly on behalf of Council, we've worked with Kui on various projects over many years, certainly in Kapalabar and here in Cleveland, and they do a lot of work with our schools. So if I could just put on record our sincerest sympathies to Kui and of course the Leishman family on behalf of Council and the community that's valued their existence and their commitment to our Indigenous communities here in Redlands. So, and with that, I'll close the meeting at 3 p.m. Thank you.